Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, good morning again here on Circles of Change. Thanks for joining us on a sunny Saturday. It's a pleasure, as always, to welcome in-studio guests. And today I have Jamie and Marin Shokir from Henning Shokir & Associates in Phoenix. Welcome you two.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Actually, it's an again, right? I can't believe where the time's gone. You were with us on December of 2010. So a catch-up show. Let me introduce Jamie and Marin. First off, they're seasoned organizational development consultants. The name of their firm is Henning Shokir & Associates. They're authors also of a book that I tout constantly on our show. So take note, listeners, please. It's Authentic Conversations, Moving from Manipulation to Truth and Commitment. They work with clients around the world to focus on how ordinary conversations can lead to employees that are engaged and energized instead of enabling relationships as they call our parent-child traps that can result in alienation and, frankly, an uninspired workforce. The Shokirs believe that real culture change comes through conversations where people expect one another to respond creatively, with generosity, and also an attitude of improvement. Jamie has advised hundreds of public and private sector companies, aiding them in strengthening their results by distributing really organizational power and influence. Marin, she spent the first part of her career as a reporter, editor, and a senior manager at major daily newspapers, and then also taught journalism in universities in Argentina and Peru. Both Jamie and Marin are skilled, popular media sources, having appeared in dozens of leading print and online publications and audio programs, such as, of course, the famous Circles of Change back in December of 2010.
Absolutely.
And also, I think many of our listeners know that we're calling this part two because I play part one quite often whenever I need a great high caliber addition to a show.
Thank you for that. You're welcome.
It's been now 3 years worth of your book sales, the book, of course, Authentic Conversations, and 3 years of kind of living it live and watching your child grow and experience it through workshops and trainings and your other writings. So what's the journey brought you so far?
Well, that's a great question. I think one of the things that you learn when you put your message out in the world, no matter how carefully you craft it, how clearly you think you've stated your message, people find a way to take it differently than you might have intended or hoped. And I think that we have discovered that, in particular, we've been working with an organization, Penn State University, around this work. And we've been a little bit taken aback from time to time about something that gets lost in the translation, which is this is about business results. It's not about, it's a communication technique, but at the very heart, it's not about communication techniques. It's about how we talk to each other and how that drives the business.
The business results. Jamie, take that further. Was this a matter of you being in a series of workshops and saying to yourselves, why aren't they getting it? Or where did that one come from? Or you heard that one more often than not?
Yeah, some of it's been that. And let me back up just a second and say thanks for having us back.
You're welcome.
It's really
nice
to be here again, too. But it's part of it's been the workshop experience. I think the notion for me is that we've been doing this work around changing conversations to change culture since the early 90s as an organization. Prior to the book coming out in 2008, we were in the room to deliver the message and deal with questions live and that kind of stuff. And now that the book's out there, people find us sometimes through the book. And so they've read the material and have their own ideas about what it means. Sometimes they're congruent with what we meant or thought we meant, and sometimes they're not. I think probably the biggest misconception, if you will, has been around the idea that an authentic conversation is somehow a conversation that has in it some level of brutality, level of strict honesty, that if I run roughshod over you when I deliver the message, so be it. We're being authentic here.
So it's been a shield to hide behind in some regards.
A shield to hide behind and another means of control, if you will, in organizations that typically are founded around command and control and compliance.
Or even a bludgeon. You know, right. it's like an excuse for people. It became an excuse for people to deliver difficult news in a not very compassionate way, which is definitely not part of our message.
Well, for those who haven't read your book yet or haven't caught our previous segment yet, perhaps we should start just briefly and explain what you mean by the word then, authentic conversations.
Sure. It has a couple of facets to it. I guess one is that conversations, first and foremost, are the grease upon which all organizations, communities, mm-hmm. so forth, run. Nothing happens without a conversation. Most organizations, particularly the type we work with, big organizations, are founded on principles of holding other people accountable, which at its heart has compliance as a way of getting things done. At the heart of compliance, then, and holding others accountable, is a strategy that says, as long as I hold you accountable, it doesn't matter how I do it, in some very real sense. And so that gets into the subtitle of our book, Moving From Manipulation to Truth and Commitment, because many of the techniques that have been institutionalized in organizations are manipulative techniques, where I, as your boss, use these to withhold information, for instance, or spin information, or that kind of thing, to get you to do what I want you to do. So authentic conversations means, first and foremost, I get clear about who I am, who I want to be, what it is I want to create here in this organization, and then begin to find language and ways of expressing myself that are true and honorable to that, and at the same time honor you and your being in the same place, if you will, trying to figure your life out as well.
And Jamie, don't you find, or maybe Maren, you can jump on this one, that when you're working within organizations, it's like people many times assume this out-of-body persona, that if you can get them to step back and say, are you really that way? You know, when you're in settings outside these four walls,
I think that it's true that people often, well, rarely see themselves as being manipulative or being that kind of person, especially at work. And I think part of that is because they've grown up in organizations that not only support that way of behaving and that way of communicating, but reward it. And that can be a really difficult issue when you're asking people to be accountable for something that they don't really understand because they're never given the full picture. They're never given they don't have any sense of transparency about what's going on. They're just basically told to do their job and put their head down. It's really hard to get the full potential from people in an organization if that's the message that's delivered, even if it's not a direct message, it's there.
And then the vicious circle you fall into, Jamie, quite frankly, is some people like that situation. Just tell me what I need to do, punch in, punch out. I'll add what I'm going to, and then I'm out of here.
Right.
In other words, there's some safety in that because if something goes wrong, hey, not my problem. Right. I did what you told me to do.
Yeah, and that gets to the parent-child sort of notion of most large organizational cultures, and that is that it's the child's stance to say, well, I just did what you said. You know, it's not my job, it's your job. That's the stance of a child in an adult world. And undoing that is much more difficult than it would sound here in this conversation because both parties, management and core workers, collude with their respective roles. And I have a friend who uses the word status quoism as getting over the status quoism of what's my contribution to this system that I live in, but I say I want to change in order to be able to determine what my childlike behaviors are and when they rear their heads and what be able to determine what my parent-like behaviors are when they rear their heads so that I can make alternative choices and be more adult and treat you as an adult.
I think that when people take that sort of idea, well, just tell me what to do, I'll do it, it's basically a way of letting themselves off the hook for being truly accountable for the success of the whole organization.
Or taking a stand if they see something that doesn't pass the smell test. You know,
Absolutely. How
many times we let those big elephants still sit in the corner of the room where everybody knows they're there, perhaps.
Right.
Absolutely.
The fact that you've become so mindful now that perhaps the message that's out there for some users of your book or your workshops now needs to be finessed, what are you doing? How do you manage that now?
One of the things that we've been trying to hammer fairly consistently and firmly is that the point of authentic conversations in an organization is to further the progress of the business. It's about the business. It's about how we use conversations, how we tell each other the truth to get business results, or raising the difficult issues in the moment as they occur, as opposed to waiting for a six-month or a yearly personnel evaluation and talking about past history when nothing can be done about it.
Or a program review that isn't for 2 weeks now, even though I know we're sitting here flaming red. Should I not raise my hand and say I need help now?
Absolutely.
Right. And do it without fear of retribution or being thrown in the clinker, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fear that gets into, well, I can't say those things to those people without the recognition that if I don't, I'm really not serving the organization well at all. I'm not serving this business or this enterprise.
Well, you know, Jamie, now in a time where so many organizations through this period of our recent history with the economic challenges and global opportunities, I'll flip that to say in a positive way, you know, I said in the introduction that you've really been dedicated with this idea of distributing organizational power. And, you know, the word power gets a lot of people spooked.
Right.
But it's truly what you're saying. And then other people will use the word engagement or empowerment. But this idea is that we're not as good as we are from an individual standpoint, but it's capturing all in that net.
Right, right. And we have a very specific definition of organizational power. For us, organizational power has five elements. It's literacy about the business, choice and decision-making in terms of serving a marketplace. The third would be accountability and who sees themselves as accountable for the success of the whole unit or the whole organization. The ability to allocate and access resources to make choices real. And the last is about the competencies that people need
to be able to do things.
And so when we talk about distributing power, we're talking very specifically about distributing business literacy as widely and as deeply as possible, moving the decision-making to the boundaries of the organization where it engages the marketplace, focusing direct attention on accountability and what does it mean to be accountable here. What does it mean to operate from the perspective of consent and commitment versus command and control and compliance, and to begin authentic conversations around those kinds of things as a means of building the capacity of everybody in the organization,
right? Not just the select few. Mary, maybe you can give us an example, a recent client example where you've imparted that five-step model and really encountered the opportunity, perhaps one of those elements that really rings out that, aha, we knew we were there when we turned that switch.
Yeah, actually, that's a good segue because we mentioned earlier in the program that people sometimes misunderstand authentic conversations. And we've been working with a large organization, a university, that started using authentic conversations with air quotes, you know, the fingers where they do, you know, quotations around what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it was sort of getting a bad rap. And so Jamie and I had to go back and do quite a bit of mop up about, here's the point. One of the things that we started telling people, A, is here's your marketplace and you need to understand it. And two is you need to be really business literate. That's one of the things that we had been stressing with people. Here's the marketplace you serve. Here's what you need to be successful of it. We talked about the organization, the elements of power that Jamie just described. And honestly, I can't even tell you, it was like light bulbs were going off. The energy level in the room, it completely shifted. We would walk in there and you could just tell that people were dreading, oh, we've got to spend some time with the show cares.
And there they are again.
Once they started really understanding this whole notion of business literacy and understanding interdependencies and how what they did contributed to the bottom line and all of these things and how they were going to be given more voice and more power over how they did their jobs, It's really been so satisfying.
Right, right. And another thing I pay attention to and notice, and I would encourage others out there to do this, when people talk about the difficult issues of the business, what is it that they talk about? And in most traditional organizations, they talk about problems with their job, problems with their boss, problems with their work. In an organization like Penn State, now that we've been working with them for the last 18 months to 2 years, you start to hear people talk about the problems that the business of delivering education to a student marketplace and their part in that, along with other people's parts in that. So it's evidence that there's a broader understanding of the business and what's at stake here.
Well, they start talking about their customers and the people they serve, as opposed to, you know, who didn't clean the coffee pot this week. Mm-hmm. You know, they really get focused on how much a role they have to play in making sure, you know, Penn State's been through a lot of changes, as have all educational institutions. And sometimes there's a longing for the change to stop or the dust to settle, and it really never is going to.
Right.
But once people understand that, and they're given the chance to understand that,
and then play a part in recommending opportunities on where to shift.
Right.
Big difference.
Well, you know, the precepts of your book, by the way, even that 5-step model, isn't just for, obviously, for commercial organizations, whether they be private or not, you know, public, private, public service, et cetera, but down to the individual level. I mean, take the organization to mean the family.
Right.
And
sure.
For, you know, I'm hearing you say things and I'm right away thinking about my teens.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I or aren't I doing in terms of the shared opportunity, the result being a harmonious home or an opportunity for them to grow on their own.
Right.
With as much handholding that life required me to give in the past.
Absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of questions around to look at that model briefly, the sorts of things that, what does it mean to be a member of this family? Mm-hmm. You know, and what does it mean to be accountable to the success of this family? And what kind of choices does that mean we make in the face of all of our wagons being hitched to the same team of horses, so to speak? And can be a powerful set of principles for family operation. At least that's what we've found.
So authentic conversations. Now that right away, I view that as the voice to voice. It's face to face, because conversation, of course, can mean as much nonverbal as it is verbal. But the reality of the day, of course, is we now have this thing called technology, whether it be our telephone, our mobile device, our emails. The additional challenges you see in organizations now in these 3 years, we'll say, with the onset of so much more of my controlling my own content, my wanting and doing it, without so much of the face-to-face that many of us grew up with in organizations.
It does create more of a challenge, because you can't rely on body language and facial signals and all those sort of things. But from my perspective, it all ultimately comes down to intention. So if my intention is to be honest and authentic and to create a relationship with you that we can both believe in, even in a different technology
medium,
conversation
yeah.
medium, it still drives my behavior. I make every effort to be transparent and clear and tell the whole story and use goodwill.
Right. I think that, again, I tend to go back to the notion of accountability in addition to the business literacy stuff that we talk about. But people become accountable for determining what is the best medium to have this conversation.
Good point.
Because in some cases, there are certain types of conversations over difficult issues where face-to-face is the best way to go. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the boss's decision. It could be anybody's decision. Or other more routine things might lend themselves to email or to text messaging or some other form of electronic communication where you don't have that face-to-face contact.
That's great.
I guess the good news, though, is we have things like Skype and face-to-face communication
video
now
conferencing.
That, you know, if you're on the other side of the world, you can still sort of have a face-to-face conversation.
When, in fact, you're absolutely right. So you look at the glass being three quarters full,
right.
Not even a quarter empty
right.
to take advantage of that. Well, you use the word accountability also, and I understand you two are in the middle of writing your next book. And, in fact, earlier you used the words true accountability as opposed to what? Counterfeit accountability?
That was actually a term that our publisher came up with. True accountability for us is, again, intentional. It's taking personal accountability for the success of the whole. And what we're particularly going after with this book is the term holding others accountable, because we believe it's impossible to do without somebody's consent. And yet organizations create all kinds of methods, systems, processes,
metrics
to do that.
Metrics.
And
mm-hmm.
and it undermines the very thing they're trying to get, which is personal
accountability.
It's kind of personal
right.
accountability. Well, we're going to watch for that.
Good.
And in the meantime, direct our listeners to check up on Authentic Conversations, Moving from Manipulation to Truth and Commitment by Marin and Jamie Shokir. Their business is located in Phoenix. You can learn more about their business on their site, as well as 602-717-3105. Thanks, Noel, as always, to join us here in the show, and we'll keep track and look forward to debuting your next book when it comes out.
It's our pleasure. Thanks
really a pleasure.
Yeah,
right.
Thanks
as
a lot
always.
For having us back.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsengroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.